love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair, me with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Ruth Wheeler.
I don't believe it.
I'm back, just as I said I would be someday.
Oh, well, come in. Oh, my goodness. When you called from the city and said you were coming, I said to Ben, I think I'm dreaming. Kate would never come back here again.
Here I am.
Now, come on, I'll bring your bag.
Oh, no, indeed, I'll carry that.
Well, we'll just close that door before the fog creeps right up the stairs. Oh, my, it's getting thicker. Now, let me look at you. Oh, Kate. You haven't changed.
In 3 years? Oh, I have too. You look just the same,
Oh,
Ruth.
The years aren't going backwards for any of us. 3 years now since you left Gull Island.
Seems like a lifetime.
Well, I reckon it is in a way. Oh, we got a lot of visiting to do and to catch up on. And where's your friend?
Oh, Trudy. She had to go on to Feather Lake and see her grandfather. He's not very well.
But you're staying with us, aren't you, Kate?
If you'll have me.
Oh, you think Ben and me would hear of you staying anyplace else? Now you take off your things, and I'll take your bag upstairs. Same room you and Tom used to have. But maybe you'd rather not.
No, it's fine.
Oh, we got a small single room in the back. Hannah's room.
How is she?
Oh, growed up and married.
Your little girl?
No little girl when she got to be 16. Claire, I don't know what's happening to kids today. She picked up with a fellow who was 19, brought him home, and wanted to stay here in her room, just the two of them. And Ben said either get married or get out. So they got married. But I still don't know whether that was the way to handle her, but it's done.
You brought up a lovely little girl, Ruth.
She was. It's the times. Well, I'm making cranberry relish.
Oh, is that what smells so good?
I hope so. Come on in the kitchen. Oh, we'll have a big pot of tea.
That'll be wonderful. Mm,
and then we can talk our heads off. Now, Ben's at the boatyard, and I'll be home in, an hour.
How is he, Ruth?
Just fine. He's stubborn as an army mule when he wants to be, but I'm learning to handle it.
Oh, you always did.
Oh, you sure surprised us both when you phoned you were coming, especially at this time of year.
Well, I had to take a chance on the weather.
Oh, you and Tom have been up here in all kinds. Now, you want to go over to Gull Island, I guess.
That's what I came for.
Well, Ben will run you over any time you want, soon as the fog lifts.
There's no reason why I shouldn't go, is there?
It's your island.
Oh, Joey Green carried my bag over here for me. He seemed to think I oughtn't to go.
Well, Joey's getting too big for his britches. He thinks he knows more about the weather than the good Lord who sent it.
Oh. Well, if that's all that worried him.
That's all I can think of. Except your own feelings, Kate. Now, I know you haven't been on the island, but not since Tom died.
It's an odd thing, Ruth, but I never think of Tom dying. He just disappeared one summer day off his boat.
Oh,
I can still see him in that sloop of his, with the sun on his blonde hair, tan to the waist. Oh, that smile.
I see him that way, too.
Now, I never believed the talk about him, Kate. And no matter what anybody says, Tom was your man. Nobody knew him better, Kate. And you hold that to your heart.
That's what I've come here to do.
Mr. Wheeler!
Running off before the wind, ain't you, Joey?
Ben, who do you suppose is here?
Now, just maybe I can guess.
Mrs. Wakefield.
I knew she was coming.
Oh, I didn't.
You've got a spell of growing to do before you know everything that happens around here.
Yes, sir. But I know why she came.
I figured you would, right or wrong. You let me finish tightening up this loose thwart, and we'll get back to the house.
Yeah, she's going over to Gull Island.
Figured that.
I told her she oughtn't to.
Now, why in thunder did you say that?
Well, it seemed right.
Joey, I've been paying you $5 a month to mind your own business. Now, suppose you go on earning it.
Yes, sir.
Gull Island belongs to Mrs. Wakefield, and she wants to go over there. She's got a right.
You gonna take her?
If anyone does.
You gonna tell her?
I'll figure that out when she's ready to go. But you keep your mouth shut here. Yeah? Maybe there won't be any need to tell her anyhow.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays, and Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application, each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On, why settle for less?
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
That you, Ben?
Yep. Where's Kate?
Oh, so you know she arrived.
Joey Green came running down to the boatyard like the devil was on his tail.
Oh, well, that boy was always fond of Kate and Tom when he was alive. You know, I remember Joey used to say...
Yep. She's staying here with us.
Why, Ben Wheeler, where else would she stay? Now, I gave her a big room with a double bed where she and Tom used to stay. Oh, I asked her first, because Hannah's room is empty now, but she said it would be all right.
How long is she staying?
Well, just as long as she wants. I was so glad to see that girl walk into this house after 3 years.
Where's she now?
Down to the wharf. Well, I guess she's got plenty of thinking to do. Maybe more feeling than thinking.
She can't see much in this fog.
Well, she doesn't have to see. She knows Gull Island is lying right out there in the fog, and it's enough to think about it.
What did she come up here for?
Why, Ben, what's gotten into you? I told you when she called from the city. She wants to go over to Gull.
No place for her alone in this weather.
But it's her island. She's got the right. House is all right, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
You've been looking after it, haven't you?
You know I have. Still no place for her to go.
Oh, now don't you tell her that. If she's gotten to the point she can come back here after all that happened, don't you spoil it for her.
Well, she can't get out there in this fog.
Well, I've known plenty worse weather when you take her and Tom.
Maybe. We were all younger then.
You've said some silly things, Ben Wheeler, since you come in, but that is the silliest. Why, there's not a better boatman than you, Ben, up and down this coast. But if you won't take Kate out to the island, well, I guess I'll just get Joey. Besides, fog will be gone by tomorrow.
It's me, Ruth. Ben Wheeler. Oh, have you got a hug?
Well, I sure have, Kate. It's good to see you, girl.
Oh, I've changed.
Not a bit. pretty as ever.
Uh-huh.
Sort of skinnier, but I guess that's stylish.
Oh, I've been telling you that for years, Ben.
Oh, wife ought to have a little flesh on her.
Oh, he read about the total woman in the paper the other day.
Oh, I'm for it.
And maybe you are. But winter's coming, and I'm not trading my good flannel nightgown for one of them frilly see-through things.
Oh. By golly, that's something to wait for in spring now, isn't it, Kate? That and the blue fish running.
I am so glad to see you, too.
Well, now, Kate's having Thanksgiving dinner with us, aren't you, Kate?
Oh, I'd love it.
Now, it's just Ben and me this year, so, well, you know how we need you.
Our girl, Hannah, isn't coming.
I hear she's married.
Yep.
Oh, she's going to her hubby's family down in Portland for Thanksgiving, but they'll be up with us Christmas. I hope.
Ben, how soon do you think I can go out to Gull?
Why do you want to go out there this time of year anyhow?
Well, I want to look. I want to look for something Tom left out there.
Oh, everything's just as you left it, Kate. Isn't it, Ben?
Yeah.
Ben, could you take me out tomorrow morning?
Fog settling in.
I love the fog. If you'll just get out there. Will you?
Don't know yet, Kate. Just don't know.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. Comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need Four-Way Nasal Spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, Four-Way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast! Is it expensive?
Nah, Four-Way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some Four-Way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh, young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Ladies, gentlemen, I do not know how we shall get through the chicanery of this chapter. I mean, to say, I don't know how my characters will. I am, of course, I forgot to mention it, William Makepeace Thackeray, and I grow tired of mentioning it. Vanity Fair is my creation, and this another of those days when I'd sooner it were not. However, must get on with it. Whither, I am uncertain. Miss Rebecca Sharp, our heroine, or at any rate sometimes a heroine, is in her bedroom with her maid.
Such a little bedroom, Giles.
Oh, Miss Becky, it ain't little.
Compared to the Queen's bedchamber at Queen's Crawley, it's no more than a closet.
Well, you don't hardly expect a great room like the Queen's in a London house, now, do you?
I suppose not.
Is it just sorry you've come to London?
Never. How can you ask such a thing?
Well, how can you complain of your pretty bedroom?
All right, you've shamed me.
I know why you truly don't like it. It's me you don't like.
What?
Me that has to sleep here, too. You want it to yourself, and I don't blame you.
I like having you here. I do.
You don't. It ain't my fault Miss Crawley's servants' quarters don't have room for me. I'll go back to Queen's Crawley if you say.
Giles!
I may, even if you don't say.
Dear Giles, what is the matter with you? So cranky this morning. Oh, what is it?
I don't like London, miss.
Ah, homesick. Of course you are. But you don't know London. Part of a day in one night is all we've been here. You'll like it in time.
Well, it won't like me.
It will, I promise. And I keep my promises, remember?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you truly want to go back to the country? If you do, I'd not have the heart to keep you.
Go back, miss, without you? What a thing to say.
But you said, oh, never mind. We've things to plan. If we don't get on with them, Miss Crawley will wake, want me, and we'll have no other chance.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Well, let's get on.
Now, you're to be there when she does wake. You're to say, oh, Miss Crawley, Miss Becky's had a letter from her Mr. Gordy.
Miss Crawley, Miss Becky's had a letter from her Mr. Gordy.
Then you're to say, Mr. Gordy has a little time off at 3 o'clock and begs me to meet him. Then say, oh, I hope you'll spare her, Miss Crawley.
Oh, I hope you'll spare her, if I may be so bold.
Ah, that's better. And be sure to add how dearly I hate to leave her.
Miss Becky, what if she says no?
She won't.
She might.
Well, that's why I want you to ask first. You tell me the wretched news, and I come into her stubbornness most pitifully weeping.
And if that don't work...
I remind her, she brought me to London not just to nurse her, but to see my dear, darling, beloved, precious Gordy.
And if that don't work...
Oh, I play the music box. She's very sentimental about it and the fact that Gordy sent it. Now, don't say if that don't work. It has to. It will. That miserable, tiresome, pockmarked Gordy will be waiting at Captain Rawdon's flat, and I must be there.
What if Captain Rawdon don't have a Gordy?
Will you stop it? He's asking Private Hooton this morning.
Well, Private Hooton mayn't want to be Gordy.
That's when Mr. Rawdon offers him a fiver.
Oh, anyone would want to be anyone for a fiver.
Oh, I devoutly hope. I'll rehearse him how to talk to Miss Crawley, just as I've been rehearsing you. Only more, much more.
But what if he don't want...
I don't want to hear more what if. Now, run to the kitchen and fetch me an onion.
An onion, miss?
If I have to weep, I shall need a fat onion to get me started.
Ah.
Oh, dear audience, are you saying there was nothing so difficult about that? It's quite right. What is to come is difficult and can be put off only a few moments longer. My dear friend, you have known Rawdon Crawley only at Queen's Crawley, a plain, good-natured chap of no great distinction. You've not known him as Captain Crawley of His Majesty's Horse Guards. Amongst his regiment, his reputation is prodigious, his popularity the same. He is famous for his duels, famous on parade, famous in field sports. He is free with his money, as bountifully supplied by his aunt. A genius at cards, can outdrink any officer, spar better than Knuckles O'Toole of the prize ring, is the best batter and bowler of the whole regimental club. He is, with reason, doted upon by his men, including Private Hooton, who only now has arrived at Rawdon's quarters.
Private Hooton reporting, sir.
That is, Hooton. Friendly talk, this. Nothing to do with the regiment.
Friendly talk, sir.
Right. Have a chair. Make yourself comfortable.
Yes, sir.
I've a bit of a favor to ask, old chap.
Oh, happy to oblige, Captain.
Warn you, not easy, this favor.
No matter. Name it, it's done.
We shall see. Recall, do you, a parcel you addressed for me to Miss Rebecca Sharp?
Yes, sir.
Recall as well the other name you wrote, the fellow the parcel's supposed to be from?
No, sir, don't believe I... Why, yes, Gordon somebody.
Gordon Nobody.
Yes, sir, you did say he was nobody. He was... Why, he was you.
Yes. And what did you make of all that skullduggery, Hooton?
I may say it, sir?
Must say it.
You've set your heart on a young lady whose parents don't approve.
Other way around, lad. My relatives, my aunt especial, don't approve.
Miss Sharp beneath your station. Is that it, Captain?
Above it, she is. Above in every way that counts. It don't count, she's a governess. Understood?
Oh, yes, sir. Quite.
Now then, to pull wool over Auntie's eyes, Miss Sharp invented Gordy Kiner, claimed to love the blighter. Now, Auntie and Rebecca are in London. Auntie, heaven spare us, demands to meet Mr. Nobody.
I say, bad luck, sir.
Mr. Nobody has got to be Mr. Somebody, and soon.
Oh.
Catch?
Yes, sir. I catch. You'd have Private Timothy Hooton be Private Gordon Kiner.
Right. Clever fellow. You'll do it?
Didn't say that, Captain. No, didn't.
But you will.
Sorry, sir. Like to oblige, but I'd not be handy at it. Make a botch of it. Not fit for it.
This afternoon, Miss Becky will rehearse you. Nothing to it.
Nothing? Oh, sir.
Steady on. You've only to meet my auntie for a few minutes. Over before you know it. Come now. Say you'll do it.
Is it an order, Captain?
Don't like to make it an order. Could. Won't.
Thank you, sir. I suggest you try Lance Corporal Stubbles. Acts in private theatricals. Stubbles is your man, sir.
You're my man. Look the part. Becky told Auntie Gordy is tall, handsome. Stubbles a runt. Drops his H's. Won't do. Now look here. Have you a lady you love?
That I have, sir.
Like to buy her a gift, would you? I can tell you a music box wins hearts, hands down. Like to send her one?
I would. Can't.
Little short of cash, eh? Well, then, there's a fiver in this for you. Now what do you say?
A fiver?
Price of a music box. Yes, Hooton?
Yes, sir, Captain Crawley. Private Gordon Kiner at your service.
Well, now, not difficult at all. Worried myself over nothing. Tomorrow, my friends? Yes, tomorrow. At your service, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Fair is dramatized by Nancy Moore and features Dolores Sutton as Becky Sharp. Charles Kimbrell portrays Rawdon Crawley. Sam McMurray, Private Hooton. Music director, John Anthony. And your host for Author Studio is Earl Hammond as William Makepeace Thackeray. This program is produced and directed by Frank Papp and brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. Ralph Camargo speaking. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life, brought to you by the O-Cedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an O-Cedar Angler Broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. O-Cedar Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
O-Cedar makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound.
O-Cedar makes your life easier.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, ban roll-on antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
I think I heard Bob drive in, dear.
Oh, what's he doing home at noon? Aunt Maggie, I'll do up those baking
dishes. No, I made the mess. I'll clean it up.
Oh, well. Oh, what are you doing home at noon, honey?
Oh, with a holiday tomorrow, there wasn't much doing at the office, so I thought I'd come home and see if I could be of some help.
Ah, you sure can. I want to get the table all set today. So if you put the boards in...
Well, you know? The house smells good.
I just made some pies. Then I'll make the stuffing for the turkey.
Oh, no, Aunt Maggie. I'll do that.
Where are the boards for the table?
In the hall closets where they always are. I've got to iron this big tablecloth, too.
Well, now I've set my glasses down somewhere. I think that's the worst part of getting older. You can't see a thing without your glasses. I think I set them down in the living room.
I do not want Aunt Maggie making the stuffing for the turkey. She puts entirely too much sage in it. It just ruins the dressing.
Oh, well, you know Aunt Maggie. She'll insist on making it anyhow.
Well, I think I'll hide the sage. I'm going to put it way up here behind the sugar.
Well, the stuffing won't taste right without any sage in it at all.
Well, better none than the handful she just dumps in.
Oh, by the way, I thought Mother said she was bringing the pies.
Well, Aunt Maggie doesn't like your mother's apple pie. She thinks your mother puts too much nutmeg and cinnamon in.
Boy, it sure is true. You can't have two cooks in the kitchen.
That's for sure.
Well, I'll get the table set up.
Pop the glasses.
All good, dear.
On the mantelpiece. I certainly don't know how they got there. I've been in the kitchen, and I don't remember going into the living room at all.
You were in there dusting.
Oh, yes, that's right. Now, what was I going to do?
Why don't you just sit down and rest, Aunt Maggie? You've been bustling around since you got up this morning.
Oh, no. Oh, I know. I was going to fix the stuffing.
Aunt Maggie, I'll do it. Really. I mean, it's so much work.
No,
I'll do it.
I don't mind at all, dear. You iron your tablecloth.
I thought there were four boards for the table.
There are, in the hall closet, in the back. Just a minute, I help you look. I'm looking for the napkins that go with this tablecloth. Thought I had 12. In fact, I know I've got 12. I can only find 10.
I'll get it. Oh, I'm right here.
I can't find the sage.
Hello?
Oh, well, it must be there, Aunt Maggie.
Well, I'll look again.
Oh, hi, Mother. Well, what do you mean? Of course you
I've
did.
Lost two of my good damask napkins. Oh, no, here's one. The other one must be here someplace.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on.
Oh,
Peg,
see, yeah?
Didn't you call Dorothy about Thanksgiving? Mother says you didn't call her.
Your mother's right. I didn't.
Well, I cannot find the sage.
Oh, don't worry about it, Aunt Meg. I mean, we don't like too much sage in the stuffing anyway.
Well, you certainly have to put sage in the stuffing.
What do you mean you didn't call Dorothy? You know how she is. She gets her feelings hurt at the drop of a hat anyhow.
I didn't invite your sister for Thanksgiving this year.
You didn't invite... Why not?
Nope. I just decided I was tired of it. Not once in all the years we've been married has Dorothy ever had the families for Thanksgiving. Not once.
Well, what am I supposed to tell my mother?
Well, you can tell her, if you want to, that I'm tired of Dorothy arriving with two dogs and four children, all of which she lets run wild all over the house, jumping on the beds, while Dorothy sits on her rear end and does nothing. Everyone else does dishes while she lies down with one of her migraines.
Oh, look, Peg.
One of her migraines, which disappears when the work is done. Now, that's what you can tell your mother. She brought her up.
Oh, come on. It's Thanksgiving.
I know. I'm going to give thanks that Dorothy's not here.
Oh, please. Why do you want to start something now?
Honey, you're the one who is always furious when they leave. You seem to have forgotten how her kids put chocolate marshmallow in four of your good briarwood pipes. Well, you wanted to kill them. And all Dorothy said was, well, children will be children. And she laughed about it. She laughed about it.
Okay, okay. But she's my sister, and it is Thanksgiving.
Where's the turkey? I can't find it anywhere.
Where'd you put the turkey?
What turkey?
Didn't you bring it home last night?
Bring it home?
You said to me, don't get a turkey for Thanksgiving. You said good old Bill, somebody or other, was giving you one.
Yeah, Bill Patterson. Didn't he send it?
No, he didn't.
Oh, good heavens. You mean we don't have a turkey?
Well, I thought naturally you brought it home when you came home last night and couldn't get it in the refrigerator and left it on the back porch to stay cold.
No, I would have mentioned it. Bill said he'd send it. I bumped into him just last week, and he said, don't forget, I'm sending you a turkey. He said positively.
Why are you dependent on Bill Anderson, of all people?
Bill Patterson.
Well, they look just alike.
Oh, Bill Anderson doesn't look anything like Bill Patterson.
Wouldn't it be better, instead of arguing, if we figured out what to do with everybody coming to dinner tomorrow? Oh, isn't that a truck stopping out there now? Maybe that's the turkey.
That's just a pickup truck.
Okay, but it says Patterson's Turkey Farm on it, so there you are. My friends are reliable.
Well,
Bill said he'd give me a turkey, and he did. You're so quick to jump to conclusions.
All right. I'm sorry. But with people coming for dinner tomorrow, and the stores are probably all sold out by this time, naturally, I worried about whether or not we were going to... What was that?
Oh, my heavens! You two better come here!
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
All right, I didn't know Bill would send a live turkey.
You said he raises turkeys. You must have had some idea.
No, I didn't. I suppose he just sells them to the poultry market, and they take care of the killing and the cleaning. Well, I don't know. I don't know why Aunt Maggie let that delivery man get away.
I didn't let the delivery man do anything. When I opened the back door, he just set the crate down on the porch and said, Happy Thanksgiving with a Patterson turkey or something like that.
If this is your pal, Bill Patterson's idea of a joke, I don't think it's very funny. I'll tell you that. Really don't.
I don't think it's a joke. I think he meant to be nice.
Sending somebody a live turkey is nice the day before Thanksgiving. What are we going to do with it?
Well, we'll have to kill it and clean it. Never mind. I'll pull out all the pin feathers. Good thing I came home early.
Kill him?
Yeah.
Well, when I was little, Father always brought home a live turkey. It's a lot more work, of course, but...
Well, you're not going to kill him. I mean, how would you do it?
With an axe? You just chop off his head.
Aunt Maggie, don't even talk like that.
Oh, for Pete's sake. How do you suppose millions of turkeys all
over
the
country... I don't even want to think about it. Do you mind? And neither does he. Must be some more humane way than that. Can't you chloroform him or something?
Who ever heard of chloroforming a turkey?
Well, just don't talk anymore about chopping his head off. I mean, it just seems too mean.
Anyhow, where would I get chloroform?
I don't know.
All right. I'll go get my hunting rifle and shoot him.
Shoot him? When he's in the crate?
Well, if I open the crate, he'll get loose, and since I've never hit anything yet...
Well, it certainly doesn't seem very sporting to shoot him when he's in a crate. He wouldn't have a chance.
He isn't supposed to have a chance. We're having him for dinner.
Besides, isn't it against the law to shoot off a gun in town? Yes, it is. You can shoot people. I don't think you can shoot ducks and geese. Birds. And a turkey is a bird. You can't do that.
It's always been my impression that it was against the law to shoot people.
Well, I meant intruders. While defending your home. Oh, forget the whole thing about killing him. I mean, seeing him live like this, I couldn't eat this poor thing anyway.
Well, what do you propose we do with him?
Take him back to the Patterson Turkey Farm. And then drive around to the stores and see if you can buy a turkey that is already... Oh, you know, I'm not going to eat a thing tomorrow. I really am not. Aunt Maggie, where'd she go?
I don't know. In the other room, I guess.
You shouldn't have snapped at her that way. It wasn't her fault the delivery man was in a hurry. It really wasn't.
No, I know. Aunt Maggie!
Did somebody leave the phone off the hook in here?
Oh, your mother! Your mother, you left her hanging on the phone.
Yes, I did, Aunt Maggie. I'm coming.
Oh,
boy.
Well, I don't think there's anybody on the phone now.
Oh.
Hello? Hello? No, all I can hear is a funny clicking sound.
Oh, yeah. Will she be mad? Well, I'll call her back. Wait a minute. What am I going to tell her?
Tell her about the turkey. It is kind of funny. Maybe she'll forget about being mad.
Poor thing. Maybe we could keep him as a pet.
What am I going to tell Mother?
I said tell her about the turkey.
No, Aunt Maggie. Peg, what about... Dorothy?
What about her?
Please. Can I tell Mother you'll call Dorothy and invite them?
I thought you decided not to invite Dorothy.
I did.
Then stick to it.
Aunt Maggie?
No, I agree with her. Your sister never lifts a finger to help. And those children of hers are perfectly dreadful. Naturally, since they get no discipline whatsoever.
Now, look,
they need their little bottoms warmed. All this permissiveness that Dorothy talks about so her children grow up free.
My mother will be very upset if my sister is not invited.
Well, your wife is going to be very upset if she is invited. I think it's time you decided between your wife and your mother.
Oh, listen, please. I don't want Bob put on the spot like this. All right, I'll call Dorothy and invite her.
One of your troubles is you never stick to anything.
Aunt Maggie, we never have a family reunion. There isn't some squabble about something.
And usually it's about Dorothy.
Go ahead. Call your mother, and then I'll call your sister and invite her.
No. The truth is, I guess, I don't really want them either. They've spoiled every Thanksgiving with those kids of hers. This year we'll have a nice, quiet, peaceful Thanksgiving.
What are you going to tell your mother?
Just that. But I'll call her later. Right now, I better get the turkey back to the farm and drive around and see if I can buy one.
Yes,
if you're going to a store, buy some sage for my stuffing.
Oh, Don't bother, dear. I'll see if I can find some sage, Aunt Maggie. I'm sure I have some. Oh, Thanksgiving. You know, sometimes I wonder if the Pilgrims had any idea what they started.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Dan Rolon, America's leading Rolon antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. Have and to hold, the story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair, me with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Julie, I haven't had dentist in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shuffle, kick.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
So, Jason, now you know why I didn't call you back last night.
Yeah.
What did you say to Emily?
Oh, I said I never got a chance to see Zabo and that he'd taken a test with him for further study.
Listen, he said he wasn't absolutely certain.
Yes, I know, Marsh. We're meeting here?
He's due now.
You know, Marsh, you said way back you suspected a brain tumor, remember?
Yes, I said, well, the test didn't indicate it. Just a hunch. Just a lousy hunch.
Oh, God. Marsh, how can I tell her?
Jason, Zabo says it could be a long, long time.
Yes, but it's a death sentence. It doesn't matter when.
Come in. Oh, hello, Vic. Dr. Zabo, this is Jason Carter.
How do you do?
Hello, Doctor.
Yes, the fire marshal went over it again.
Yes?
I'm sorry, Dr. Carter. It's a chordoma in the occipital area.
You're certain?
I could see your wife before I say that, I suppose, but from these...
Yes, yes, I understand, Doctor. Okay, what do you recommend?
Not surgery. The growth is very slow, and a surgery in that area, well, she would be paralyzed.
Oh, my God.
I see she's on medication for the headaches, and as long as that works, fine.
What'll happen? How soon?
Well, that's hard to say.
Doctor, please.
Well, she will not be in any great pain. Discomfort, yes.
How long?
Well, it could be months or years. Depends on the rate of growth. Oh, it does not metastasize. It does not spread at all.
Yeah, I see.
I'm sorry.
Sure.
Well, Marsha, I've got to see Alice.
Yeah, sure, Vic.
Well, let's have lunch someday, okay?
Sure.
I'm sorry we didn't meet under happier circumstances, Dr. Carter.
But, oh, yes, yes, of course.
Well, keep me informed, Marsha, will you?
Sure, sure.
Oh, God.
Jason, sit down.
Oh, I can't believe it. I don't believe it.
I know.
Not Emily. Not my Emily.
Look,
Are you going to tell her?
Marsh, how can I?
She expects us to be honest with her.
Yes, I know, but I can't tell her now. Not yet. Just let me think a minute, huh?
She knows you're seeing Szabo today.
Well, I'll just have to tell her he doesn't know yet. We're going up to the cabin now. Uh-huh. For the whole weekend. We'll get through that. And then I'll tell her.
And 3 pounds of coffee, Joe.
Check.
4 large tomato juice.
1, 2, 3, and yes, 4. This is enough for a small army, moving on its stomach.
Well, there's nothing like the North Woods to give you an appetite. Wait and see.
Well, we'll be going in 2 cars, I trust.
Oh, yes, we'll have to split up. Jennifer's already spoken up for you, Joe, so you'll be in the car with her.
Good. Isn't there anything I can bring, Emily?
Well, are you all right for warm clothes?
Mm-hmm. I'm okay. I have wool shirts and sweaters.
It's cold up there. Mm-hmm. From the weather report, it looks like snow and still colder. Oof.
Now, anything else I can help you with?
I hate to see you spend your short time off packing groceries.
Oh, since I'll be helping to eat them, I'm happy to help pack. Oh, who's going to take care of Charlie while you're gone?
Betsy Foster.
Dr. Foster's daughter?
Mm-hmm. Just our Susie's age.
You keep looking at that phone. Are you expecting a call?
Well, I thought Jason might be calling. He's seeing the specialist today.
Yes, Dr. Szabo.
Oh, I'll be glad when this is over and they find out what they have to do to me.
How have you been feeling lately?
Oh, some aches and pains. And some shooting pains down my legs.
Severe?
I don't know. I've never had them before. I guess not. Anyway, I think it was just the cold weather.
Did you tell Dr. Foster?
I don't remember.
Well, is that any way to treat your doctor?
Oh, Joe, I hate to complain. And anyway, so many things go away by themselves.
Except the ones that don't.
I wonder where Jennifer is. You know, if you have to leave before she gets back...
Oh, well, we'll have enough of each other's company in the car tomorrow.
I wonder why Jason doesn't call.
Well, I'm sure it's because he doesn't have anything to tell you.
She's waiting to hear from Dr. Carter. Or you, I suppose.
Yeah, well, there isn't anything we can tell her.
Well, she ought to know that, at least. Do you want some more coffee, Doctor?
No, thanks. Jason will talk to her.
What did Szabo say?
Oh, nothing yet. He's still looking at the tests. Look, I'd better get back up there.
Doctor, how long is Mrs. Anthony going to be at Jefferson Hospital?
Oh, a few more days. You know, she's very helpful with those Brixton children.
Mm-hmm.
She knows so many of them. Where is that elevator?
Have you talked to Angela about her?
Hmm? No. Any reason to? Here it is.
Oh, I'll tell you later.
All right. I understand you're going up to the North Woods for the holiday.
Yes, I was able to get my schedule changed. I hope it's all right with you.
Yes, yes, I'm glad you're going.
Well, thank you.
It's good you'll be with them.
Yes, I'm the one who feels fortunate, Doctor.
Oh, yes, of course. Of course you are.
Excuse me.
Let's go in my office.
Of course, Doctor.
Well, let's see, Joe. What were we talking about?
Oh, Helen Anthony.
Ah, that's right. Mm-hmm. You said something about her and Angela.
Yes, I think Angela's upset about her for some reason.
Oh? I wonder why.
I don't know. Helen Anthony's a guest at the Carters. Maybe she thinks it's too much for Emily Carter to take on now.
No. Maybe that's it. I'll talk to Angela about it when I can.
Mm.
Joe, will you put these back in the patient records file?
Sure. Of course, Doctor. Isn't that Mrs. Carter's file?
Yes, it is.
I thought you said Dr. Szabo had it. Did he forget it?
Oh, no. No, I had the file copied for him.
The cranial plates, too?
Well, he said he wouldn't need them.
He wouldn't need them?
That's right, Doctor. Now, if you'll excuse me, Joe.
Yes, I'll put this back in the file.
I put out your winter underwear.
Oh, what for?
Well, it's very cold up at the cabin and getting colder. So put it on tomorrow.
Yes, all right.
Jason, you usually put up more of a fight than that. Are you feeling all right?
Oh, maybe it's just a reaction to working so hard at Brixton.
You probably overdid it. None of us is as young as we were 20 years ago.
No, no, we're not.
Or maybe you're depressed because we don't know what the specialist, what's his name, Dr. Szabo, has to say?
Well, yeah, that could be it.
Well, so he's a slow worker. Oh, look, darling, don't let it spoil the holiday.
No, no, darling, we won't.
Okay, are you feeling red or blue tomorrow, then?
What does that mean?
I'm getting out your wool shirts. Do you want the red or the blue?
Oh, I guess the red.
Oh, Carolyn did a sweet thing. She invited Helen Anthony over there while we were gone.
Oh, well, that was nice of her.
It really is marvelous of Helen to give up her Thanksgiving with her husband to be with those children she brought up from Brixton.
Yes, it is.
Come on, darling. Move over.
Okay.
Well. Can you think of anything I've forgotten?
What do you mean?
Well, do I have everything for the trip?
Yes, I'm sure that you've got everything, Emily.
To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.